Hi, I'm Aislinn Antrim with Pharmacy Times. Welcome to Psychedelic Pharmacy, where we take a look at one of the fastest growing markets in healthcare, psychedelic medicine. This month, we'll hear from Colonel Dallas Hack, the recently appointed Director of Medical Affairs at Magic Med, about the drug development program for a novel derivative of psilocybin for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. Colonel Hack has a really fascinating background, having served as the Army Central Command Forward Surgeon, and in 2004, he was assigned as the Command Surgeon for Operation Iraqi Freedom, and was responsible for managing the care and evacuation of severely wounded coalition service members at the height of combat operations. In an interview with Alana Hippensteel of Pharmacy Times, Colonel Hack said he arrived in Kuwait the day before 9/11. This background in the military has given him a unique perspective on PTSD and the ways in which psychedelic medicines could help.
It's just sort of coincidence of arriving in Kuwait that they literally the day before now thrust me in the center of really what has now been 20 years of conflict. It was fairly early in that experience where I was the clinical services director for the command overseeing the medical services that I began to see these reports of PTSD developing in troops at various levels. The thing that really came to our attention was this alarming spike in suicides that we were seeing. To try and get a handle on that, we did a series of mental health assessment teams that went through and tried to assess the deployed troops and potential solutions. And this issue continued to escalate, actually on a personal level, being in a combat environment for that period of time and having been in situations where we were being fired upon and mortared and so on. I came back from that thinking I was doing okay, obviously understanding a little bit of stress and so on, but my wife kept asking me for that first 6 months, are you okay? Are you okay? I was driving as if I was still in Iraq. I was reacting inappropriately at times and so on. And it took a significant period of time for me to really get back to a more even keel. So I experienced myself, although I continue to function at a fairly good level, it was something I can truly empathize with.
Colonel Hack also said there is a great need to develop novel treatments for PTSD.
Well, unfortunately, the only approved pharmacotherapies for PTSD are Zoloft and Paxil. There was a relatively weak benefit that the depressive symptoms that are associated with PTSD, they don't actually correct the main issues with PTSD. And more recent trials in more severe forms of PTSD, such as combat-related PTSD, actually question the efficacy of those SSRIs in general. Thus, there's this real gap, this real need for truly effective treatments for PTSD, which is not only a military problem, but an increasingly recognized problem in the civilian community as people deal with trauma and stress and so on.
As a result of his combat experience, Colonel Hack said the military asked him to lead all of the trauma research programs. That work eventually led him to psychedelic medicine research.
Well, as a result of that early combat experience and deployment experience and so on, the military actually asked me to lead all the trauma research programs for the military. And this was fortunately just at the time where Congress gave us a significant increase in research funding to address these issues. In response to those research program announcements that I was being issued with my team, we were seeking treatments for trauma-related brain disorders, TBI, PTSD, and so on. And much to my surprise and so on, a number of researchers began submitting proposals using Schedule I drugs as potential treatment options to be studied. And naturally, there was sort of this visceral reaction, initially met with significant resistance. The preliminary evidence sort of continued to increase and come in to the point where research on the utility of psychedelics for brain disorders has now become mainstream. I mean, a lot of people are jumping on this bandwagon now. If you really look back in history, almost 100 years ago, there was a significant amount of study of these drugs for these kinds of conditions. And that fell away with the war on drugs. But now we're getting back to how to appropriately use them in a controlled environment. So it's really nice to see this potential treatment moving forward.
Turning to a discussion of the program at MagicMed, Colonel Hack said the program is working to discover drugs that will have high efficacy with limited adverse effects.
Really, in the simple terms, really to discover new chemical entities, molecular modifications of these psychedelic drugs that will maintain or improve their therapeutic efficacy while reducing unwanted side effects. And that's really what it comes down to. We don't want people having these long-term side effects that some of the psychedelics do, but yet we want to be able to have that therapeutic efficacy that can truly help people with these conditions.
The development of a novel psilocybin derivative could have significant benefits, especially in the treatment of PTSD.
Psilocybin in particular, as compared to some of the other psychedelics, seems to have a longer-term therapeutic benefit in reducing anxiety and depression. This is over and above what has become more and more accepted, this psychedelic-assisted intensive therapeutic interventions, which last about a day or so each. The psilocybin tends to have this longer-term benefit both before and after those other interventions. So if we can come up with a version of this that is an actual positive drug without the negative side effects, I think it will have a real role in the whole armamentarium of what we do to treat PTSD.
When discussing novel derivatives of psychedelics more generally, Colonel Hack said there are potential uses for the treatment of PTSD as well as traumatic brain injuries.
In combat PTSD is among the most severe forms of PTSD. And part of that reason is obviously the intensity of the psychological exposures. But the other fact is that it's commonly associated with a TBI in the same instant, a traumatic brain injury. And the two of those seem to magnify each other. And these are generally resistant to single symptom reduction approaches. Unfortunately, when we take those simple reduction approaches, we end up putting some of these patients on multiple medications. I've seen them on as many as 14 different medications simultaneously with all the interactions and side effects and all that, and leading to some really bad outcomes. And so truly corrective and curative therapies are needed. Because of their unique action on the brain, psychedelics seem well positioned to meet that need.
Because psychedelic drugs themselves have greater adverse effects and limited availability, Colonel Hack said derivatives could play an important role in the future of psychedelic medicine research and real-world use.
It comes down to side effects and abuse potential, and how do we protect the public. There's hope that the modified psychedelic drugs will have improved safety profiles, less abuse potential, possibly making them easier to obtain and dispense, hopefully not be a Schedule I drug at that point. The drug problem in this country is obviously so severe, has such societal impact, and we have to always have this balance. But if we can come up with a true medical drug that doesn't have as much abuse potential, I think it'll be more easily work within our medical system.
Because psychedelic drugs do have negative connotations, Colonel Hack said it will take time for a novel derivative to be more widely accepted, especially in the medical community. However, he has hope for the future, provided that there is adequate education.
Unfortunately, I think it'll take time. It'll take a lot of education, a lot of time. It takes time to change culture. It takes a long time. These types of drugs have long had such a negative connotation. Until people have conversations and more information gets out, and it just has to be repeated and so on. So I think with good educational efforts, particularly in the medical community, I think that we can start to make inroads on that. We'll have to have good patient education materials as well to go along with it. The answer to it, I think, is education.
Finally, Colonel Hack said pharmacists are incredibly vital in the field of psychedelic medicine development, and they could be essential players in the real-world usage of these drugs.
Well, pharmacists are the front line. They're the critical link in the delivery of medical care to the patient, especially medical therapies like medications and so on. Very often people go to their pharmacist for advice even before they'll go to their primary care provider and so on, because they're accessible. Their input is so valuable in the development of the final drug product. Their education for the patient, feedback to the drug developer for public perception, and one of the most critical functions is this ongoing post-marketing surveillance of that pharmaceutical. I think these roles will be even more important when we're dealing with something that is controversial as this field of psychedelic medication development. So I think they're a key partner in this.
In addition to the modern research around psychedelic medicine, the history of medicine is full of fascinating findings and alternative approaches to both medical practice and drug research. Each episode, Alana will explore a historical approach to medicine that, despite its sometimes odd or bizarre nature, remains foundational to modern developments in the field.
In the 19th century, an Austrian man named Vincent Priesnitz went down in history for miraculously healing himself from a rib injury that his doctor had proclaimed would lead to a most certain death. In his notes, the physician wrote that Priesnitz, by a stroke of intuition, inexplicably cured his injury by drinking lots of water, cleaning his wounds with compresses soaked in cold water, and regularly changing his bandages. This process would come to be dubbed, at the time, a water cure. Despite the overwhelming positivity experienced by many in the general public during their water cures, not all patients were provided such cures voluntarily. The involuntarily water-cured patients were those in the insane asylums of the time, where cold water had long been used as a punitive device. With the advent of cold water as an actual treatment, mental health doctors of the time seized on the opportunity and applied it to their less willing subjects with the hopes of reaping similar rewards. With the intention of using hydropathic techniques to shock the insanity out of the minds of their patients, mental health professionals applied several different methods. One such method, which was recommended by the father of American psychiatry, Benjamin Rush, was the cold water pour, which consisted of dumping streams of cold water down the coat sleeves of patients. Rush explained that this method was specifically designed to establish governance over deranged patients. Another method was the continuous hot bath, which consisted of placing a patient into a hot tub with a continuous flow of water between 95 and 110 degrees. Mental health professionals would then place a sheet over the tub with a hole for the patient's head. The patient was then left in the tub anywhere between several hours to several weeks. A different approach used at insane asylums was the douche, which, despite the name's contemporary association, was actually a process we more commonly refer to today as waterboarding. In this process, patients were held under a stream of cold water as it fell continuously over their heads and mouths. This treatment soon became one of the most feared among the water cures used by professionals of the time. Some other commonly used water cures in insane asylums were drenching, which consisted of placing a patient under a stream of ice water, and the dripping machine, which involved positioning a bucket over a patient's head as water would drip slowly onto a specific spot on the patient's forehead.
Thanks for listening to Psychedelic Pharmacy, a pharmacy focused series. Tune in next month to hear from expert Kellen Thomas about his research into psychedelic medicines, adverse effects, and drug-drug interactions.